This morning, I wanted to look with you at one of the parables that Jesus gave to us. And I want to look at a specific thought in it or theme in it. And that's that thought of receiving that little word of faith. And, of course, the parable that goes with the little word of faith is the parable of the mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds. And I just want to look at that with you. And if we can turn together in Matthew 13. And we'll read verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 13. And it says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like the grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And so there's that picture of a little seed turning into something quite large, you know, that when you compare them, you know, there's such a drastic comparison. And of course, the Lord is showing us something in the kingdom that's how faith operates. Faith can start so small and insignificant. Have you ever had a word from the Lord that seemed really insignificant? You know, a little word. Oh, I guess the Lord wants me to do that. I guess it's worthwhile doing what the Lord is saying, that little word can turn into something so great and so fruitful in our lives. And so that, you know, when God speaks, we want to allow him to work, allow him to develop it, because it can become one of our greatest strengths. And I remember being in a service and the speaker was actually mentioning this topic, and he brought out some mustard seeds. And he gave it to people and, you know, was giving them to, handing them out. And his challenge was, see if you have it by the end of service. Now, that was a challenge because that seed was so small that you could barely see it in your hand. And, of course, trying to take notes during service, keeping a seed, I lost mine. Right? It was gone by the end of service. Right? And that's actually kind of a good illustration of how easy it is. You know, the Lord can speak something to us and, by the fact that it seems so small and insignificant, we can lose out because we're like, well, oh, what was that the Lord spoke to me? I know it was something pretty good, but I forgot. I didn't write it down, you know, or maybe I didn't, you know, really, I didn't think it was that significant. It was so small. But yet the Lord is saying, you know, some of the greatest things he does start in a very small way. And so, you know, the Lord can speak to us, and the challenge is not to dismiss it or put it aside. And so he's showing us, you know, this is a kingdom parable, the way his kingdom operates. And so the way he'll move in our lives if we desire him to. And so this little word produces something powerful. And that's how faith is operating. You know, there's another situation when Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration and his disciples came to him saying, Master, you know, we've cast out demons before, but there's this little boy there and we couldn't do anything. What's going on? And so he answered them in Matthew 17 and verses 19 and 20. It says, Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus says something important to his disciples. He says, Because of your unbelief. For truly I say unto you, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, Remove to this other place, to yonder place. It's King James. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, they wanted to do something, but they needed the power of faith. And so Jesus was saying, you know, you were lacking some faith in this area. But if you had that faith, you know, before he's talking about the smallness of it, now he's talking about the power of it. Here's the power of that little seed, that if we can hold on to that, we can recognize the importance of that little seed and plant it and cultivate it and take care of it in our lives. Here's the power of it. Jesus says, if you have that little seed in your life, you can look at that mountain, and there's plenty of mountains in Israel, and I don't know which one he was pointing to or referring to, but they were probably standing next to one, and he can say, you see this mountain here? you can have a word of faith and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. You know, I was just thinking of the natural, you know, of thought of a mountain. What does it take for a mountain to be removed? Well, naturally, the only thing that we can really come close to is a volcano. In fact, there was a volcano called Krakatoa. Has anyone ever heard of that one? Krakatoa. It was a big explosion in 1883. And basically, it was a mountain that was 2,600 feet high. It wasn't insignificant. So it was 2,000 feet high, 2,500 feet high. It exploded, and it threw rock, 5 cubic miles of rock into the air. And the sound of the explosion was heard in Australia, like 3,000 miles away. They theorize this is the loudest sound ever heard by man. You know, and when it was done, there was no mountain left. It was gone. Right? Now, a mountain has since grown up, and this is in Indonesia. It's since grown up and starting to get tall again. But that, think about the power that it would take to remove that mountain. In fact, people estimated it was 13,000 times greater than the atom bomb in World War II. That's the power to remove a mountain. But yeah, that's what Jesus is saying. He wants to give us the power to remove mountains. Now, I don't know if anyone's naturally said that yet, right? Mountain, get out of my way. And they've happened. But, of course, we know that the Lord is speaking to us of something even more important than removing a natural mount, but is removing those spiritual mountains, those things that oppose us from doing the will of God, those things that oppose us from going on with God. Almost lost it. You know, where he says, be thou removed through the power of faith. And so, you know, the mountains that Jesus wants us to address are within. Or they're standing before us, you know, like the devil. Jesus, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this devil out? Basically said, because you don't have that seed of faith. You know, that faith is not within you, and you could not cast him out. And so, you know, he said sometimes you need prayer and fasting, not to work something up, but so that you can get the faith. You know, that's why we pray and fast. Not just to go through the motions of something and something divine happens, but, well, something divine does happen, but it's so that we can get that faith, that word, that even the smallest word. You know, that's something I appreciated about some of the men and women of old, Smith Wigglesworth or Reese Howells. You know, they were men who prayed. But, you know, you would read stories about them about, oh, there was a need, they would pray. And so they would get people to pray, and maybe half an hour later, or sometimes an hour later, or 2 hours later, they'd come out and say, oh, it's done. Why is it done? It's like, the Lord spoke to me. He just gave me one little word, and that's all I need. They knew the power of faith operating in their lives. It was a mustard seed, but they said, oh, I got my seed. It's going to produce it. And sure enough, you know, they were praying for something, and something would come, you know, money would come in the mail, or something would happen, someone would provide for them, or the Lord would answer that request. You see, they had become accustomed to operating that way in faith, in going to God and receiving their mustard seed. And it became something that removed the mountain that was before them. And so that's the miracle that the Lord wants to impart and to complete in our lives. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking about how the Lord operates in this way, you know, removing the mountain. Sometimes it is kind of like Krakatoa. Sometimes we have a mountain that's before us, right? Like Zerubbabel, right? You know, that mountain shall be removed. And sometimes God just releases a power in our life, and he deals with that, and it's gone. It's removed. And praise the Lord for that, how he works in that way, where he sets us free, or he breaks the power of the enemy in a marvelous way. You know, Isaac had a meeting like that, where he wrestled with the Lord, and, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you do this in me. And it was done, and his name was changed, right? God moved in that way. And, you know, I think God is calling us to have those experiences with him, where he does a quick work, because things are going to move quickly in the days to come. But, you know, it's also in another way, God can move. You know, there's that thought that applies to so many aspects of Scripture. There's that instantaneous work, and then there's that progressive work. And so often that's how the Lord's working progressively in us, where faith is working day by day. And you can kind of, you know, relate that. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, you know, the working of faith and the working of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit, and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake." You know, Paul did not just share the truth, but he brought power to them. That was something they saw and they felt. That was the evidence of the gospel, was the power. And, you know, I think I've shared this many times before, you know, but the Greek word for power here is dunamis. And it's where we get the word dynamite. And that's the power, the miraculous strength, the violence, the mighty work of the Spirit that he wants to do in our lives, and he wants to operate in his church today. And that's how his mountain can be removed. And you know, one of the ways that they remove mountains, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I look a lot when I'm driving, if I'm driving up to New York and you have to drive through Pennsylvania, you ever notice that you're driving through half a mountain sometimes, you go through these passes and you look at the side and it's just a sheer rock face. You know how they got that? Is they would drill a little hole, stick a lot of dynamite in there, blow it up, move the debris out, do it again, drill holes, you know, and they would slowly make their way through that mountain. And they would do tunnels like that too, you know, drill holes, blow it up, pull it out, do it again over and over, so that instead of going around the mountain, you could go through it. You know, and that's the work of the power of God. You know, so that he can make a way for us where there seems to be no way. So sometimes God will give that faith like that volcanic eruption, and he'll remove it from us where it levels the mountain. But, you know, I think a lot of the times the Lord wants to work in us day by day, you know, experience by experience, word by word, where he sends his power and he's eroding the power of the enemy in us, or he's making a way through this mountain. And of course, you know, the Baileys used to talk about how, you know, sometimes it's like that tunnel and it's pretty dark, but yet he's working slowly, slowly. And then we come out the other side and we look behind us and we see this big mountain range that we could have never gotten through unless we went through that tunnel experience. But you know, we can't go through that tunnel experience without the power of the faith of God to walk in the way that he's sharing with us. In Romans 1 and verse 17, it says, "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." God wants to bring many words of faith that we receive and we apply, and it brings about a little explosion in our lives. Sometimes it's a big explosion. I don't know if you ever heard a word from God that really unsettled you, kind of changed your course in life or something like that. We've gotten a few words like that before, but, you know, other times he just speaks to you with his still small voice and leads you that day. And, you know, but it's a word of power. It enables you to walk farther with him, to go deeper with him, so that we can go through those obstacles that we're facing. You know, we can face a mountain and we have that choice. Well, I can go around it and take a long time, or I can go through it through the power of faith. You know, I was reading about how they built this highway in the mountains, and it's called the Karakoram Highway. It's actually one of the highest highways in the world. It's at 15,000 foot elevation. Now, before they had this highway, they had to take over a 1,000-mile detour. And this is basically from, I think it's Pakistan to China. They had to drive 1,000 miles or use pack mules to get through the mountains. So they decided they were going to build a highway. Well, it took 8,000 tons of explosive to do it, 15,000 men, 1,000 vehicles. And you might say, wow, was it worth it to do all that? Well, now they can drive straight from one way to the other. They have that way through the mountains where it was impossible before. But when you think about that in the spirit, that God is leading us, he's leading us on into his promised land. He has a plan and a purpose for us. But how long will it take us to get there unless we have his faith working? and his power operating in our lives, and we're hearing his voice and we're walking in that way. And when he does that, he'll bring us through the mountain onto the other side. And we'll look back and say, I don't know how he ever got me through that, but here I am by his faith. There's one more application I just wanted to look at with you, the idea of faith working. It's the thought of a tree. And this is in Luke 17 and verse 6. Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. It says, "And the Lord said, if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you." So here's another obstacle. First it was a mountain, now it's a tree that's working, you know, that's opposing you. I remember the Toppers from Africa, they were sharing a story how they had a tree that initially it started off pretty nice. It gave them some shade, but then it started to grow. And, you know, Jason and Ashley can probably share this experience. They have a tree in their backyard that's growing a little too much. And the Topper said it started to take over. They were started lifting up the sidewalks, and it was headed towards their house and the water pipes. And they had to do something about it. Right, so they had to bring a crew in and cut down the tree. And sometimes, right, our opposition is something that's been with us for a while. It didn't really cause us trouble. We got used to it, but then there comes a point when it's going to start to cause damage. You know, maybe it'll fall at some point, and you're worried about that. And it has to be taken care of. And so God, he'll speak a word and say, tree, be thou removed. You know, Paul gives us an example of something that can grow in our lives that has to be removed, or it'll destroy us. This is in Hebrews 12 and verse 5. He says, "Look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And so Paul tells us that we have to be careful because the enemy wants to come in and plant things, and we don't even realize it sometimes until it springs up and we say, like, man, I've got something going on in my heart with this situation or with this person. Well, it's not a big deal. I can ignore it. Or if I get a little upset, that's all right. But Paul says, look diligently, that we have to identify those things and deal with them. Of course, we can't deal with them ourselves. It takes the power of faith operating, where we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got this root in my life and it has to go. Speak to me. Give me faith. And then he gives us faith. He gives us the power to speak to that in our lives as we obey him, as we submit to him. And we can say, tree, be thou removed. Get out of here, because I want to walk with God. Of course, those who don't do that suffer the consequences. And not just that, but Paul says that bitterness springs up and many are defiled. And so that's why we so desperately need faith operating in our lives and his power to deal with those roots in our heart, because they don't just defile us, but they defile many. And so God wants his power to operate it within us. You know, John the Baptist said in Matthew 3, he's talking about, you know, roots that can trouble us. And he said, now is the time to lay the axe to the root. And, you know, Paul is saying that same thing. You know, God wants to give us faith, even that little word of faith, that if we will hold on to that and apply it in our lives, it'll allow us to lay the axe to the root. You know, he's come to give us power to remove those things so that they will trouble us no more. I don't like that in my yard when I cut something back and it grows up, you know, a week later. I have these vines growing up in my screen, and have you ever seen those vines that like to attach to your screen or your house, and then all of a sudden a week goes by and they're almost to the roof, you know? The problem is I just keep cutting them off at the ground and then they grow back up. I haven't laid the axe to the root, and that's my fault. But, you know, we don't want to make that mistake in the spiritual life. They grow up awfully fast. It's easy to just, well, I'll just chop something off and it'll go away. We need to get to the root of it through the power of faith. Now, Paul says something else in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 of how that power is perfected in us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "And he said unto me," here's the Lord speaking to Paul, you know, about a problem in his life. "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness and my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And here's an important aspect of the power of God and faith working in us. You know, faith, it's hard for faith to operate in a heart that's not weak in its own strength. When we are strong in ourselves, it is hard for faith to get a hold and grow in that environment. There's a lot of stones of pride and so forth in there that it can't get through. But the heart that's weak, that says, "Lord, I just don't have the strength. Lord, I need you today. Come and work." That heart that glories in that sense, you know, I don't know if that's the good, best word translation today, but that thought that, "Lord, I'm going to live in my weakness. I'm going to acknowledge it, and I'm going to bring it before you because I need your strength. I'll glory in my weakness so that the power of Christ can grow and blossom and be fruitful in me." And so in reality, it's that weak heart, or that heart that's weak in our own strength, in our own ways. You know, I've often shared the story of Smith Wigglesworth. You know, people were always saying, "What's the secret to your great ministry and your relationship with the Lord?" And one day, this is what he replied. He said, "The secret to my power is I'm a man of a broken heart. I'm broken." You know, there's nothing of Smith Wigglesworth. In fact, I was just reading a book yesterday about him, and he came bounding down the stairs one day at he was a guest at someone's house, and he said, "The Lord spoke to me." And the person said, "Oh, what did the Lord speak?" He said, "The Lord spoke to me, Smith, I'm going to make less of you, less of Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to cause him to die, and more of Jesus." And he was rejoicing in that word, because he knew that was, there was power in that, that if it could be less of Smith Wigglesworth and more of Jesus, then that was more of the power of Christ. And that's what he rejoiced in. He gloried in that. And that's how the power of Christ can be perfected in us. You know, like Paul says, the effectual working of his power. It causes the oil. You know, those who are broken, the oil flows in that. I'll close with one last verse here. This is Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis power." According to this power that he wants to work in us. According to that faith that's like a mustard seed. That if we'll receive that, you know, that's the promise. We rejoice in that promise. You know, promises of God are yea and amen. They're more than we can ask or think, or more than we can imagine, but they start as that seed. And that's where the challenge. The challenge to our inheritance is not, you know, having enough imagination to see. It's, can we receive that seed of faith? Because that will cause that power of Christ to work in us exceeding abundantly of more than we can ask or think. And so as individuals and as a church, let's ask for faith to move mountains. Lord, we need fresh faith. And we do, don't we? We need fresh faith. Sometimes you look around and you see what's going on and we say, "Well, I don't know. Is this our rest forever to see how, you know?" And we're honest with that. You know, we see how God's moving in Zion and in the church in the U.S. and we say, "Well, almost looks like things are going down." But we need faith. We need the faith of God to move. Even if it's just a little seed, a little mustard seed, it is powerful to work in our church. It's powerful to work in our fellowship, but it's powerful to work in our lives. And so we need that today. We need to cry out, Lord, fill us with your power so we can say to that mountain, be thou removed. To those trees, you know, in our lives, be thou removed so that we can have his power flowing through us. And Father, we just thank you for the power of faith and for the power of your spirit, of your voice to us, Lord. We just cry out to you afresh today. Lord, we pray that you would make us a people of faith, that you would give us fresh faith for our lives today, Lord, to follow you, to hear your voice, Lord, and that you'd give us a heart that would not neglect so great a salvation or so great a word of faith that you would give to us. Lord, we just even repent of times that you've spoken to us and we've lost that little seed and we didn't plant it and cultivate it and take care of it. Lord, make us those who would care for the words and would seek after and value those words of faith because they're so powerful in our hearts. Lord, do that in us, we pray. Oh, we just want to be a people of faith, to glory in our weakness, Lord, that your strength would be seen among us and in us, we pray. Oh, do that afresh today, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.